Welcome to the Mompreneur Nation podcast. You found your tribe for all things motherhood and entrepreneurship. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are here with Martha Carol Stewart, owner of Chaos Organizing, and she is fantastic. Cannot wait to get into all the things. Martha, tell us a little bit about you, who you are, and what you do.
Oh, goodness, Megan, that could be a long story. I'm 53 years old. I own Chaos Organizing, which we're about to have our 11th anniversary. Yay. It's been 11 years. And I was formerly a teacher, so it's been fun incorporating some of that teaching mode into my organizing life. I just co-authored a book called Southern Chaos, Organizing the Southern Home, and it came out in November. So we've got a lot going on over here. We're doing some new, some travel organizing to other states and, you know, I don't know. What else do you want to know? I'm an open book.
All the things. So tell us, like, what was it like whenever you decided organizing is my thing? This is what I want to do.
So I have always organized friends, family, even in college when I was still kind of a mess, because, you know, in college, you're always a mess. But I was still organizing other people. I enjoyed the task of organizing, but I didn't know what it was called. I literally called it cleaning out people's crap. I'm going to help my friend. And I was doing this while I was teaching. I was helping my friend in her bathroom and I was in Target. And I said, you know, I wish I could do this for a living. And she said, okay, I'm Googling it. And I said, what do you even call this? She goes, I think organizing. And she goes, oh my gosh, there's a whole national organization of people like you who like this stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So that was really funny. And that's how I got started. I left Target going, okay, here we go. Is this what I'm supposed to do? I went home and pitched the idea to my husband, to which he supportively said, okay, well, let's figure this out and help me. And he helped me navigate the beginnings of business because I knew nothing about business. And it was an interesting journey. I did present my idea to this board of these two men because they were supposed to give you insight on whether your business would be successful. They both told me no, that it would not. And I walked out of there and my husband looked at me and said, okay, well, how do you feel about what they said? And I said, I'm doing it anyway. And I did
it anyway.
And I did it anyway. So it was really interesting. It took about 3 years for my husband to say, you know, I really didn't think this was going to take off and I'm so proud of you. So that was a kind of a cool moment. But anyway, so that's how we got started, and I took my hobby into something else.
I love that. So tell me, what was that like whenever you first got into business? Because I think a lot of people say, oh, I have this hobby or I really like doing this. And you think, okay, I'm just going to start a business. And then you get slapped with all the, oh my God.
There's a lot that I didn't know. And I fortunately still was teaching. So I had the time to investigate, to figure it out. Like the state fees and what you need and the website and Facebook and Instagram and where do you belong and how do you get followers? And it is overwhelming. I'm just real good at taking small bites of things and figuring that out and then taking the next step and figuring that out. And I asked a lot of questions. I did a lot of investigating. I went online. I emailed people. There was two organizers here in town at the time that I started. And neither one of those people answered my emails. So I reached out nationally and got a lot of advice from other people from other states. But we're unique here in the South. I don't know if you've realized that. Our organizing
is different.
Connecticut organizing is very different than Louisiana organizing. They are not looking for a place for the crawfish pot, but, you know, but for business wise, it helped to kind of navigate that. Now, in Louisiana, we have the GoBiz, and that website is actually pretty good at here are the steps you need to take to be okay with the state. And so that was very helpful.
So speaking of going national, you've had some national experience. Huh?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
No, which thing are we talking about? The organizing?
I love how she said, which thing? I'm talking about, like, you know, your connections with HGTV and all that.
Okay. All right. Well, I was asked to be on a panel with a group of HGTV people, like stars. They were stars. And so here I am. I don't have a media team. I don't have media training. It's just me, right? So I'm coming into this to do this panel with them on video. And if anybody knows me, my technology knowledge is not the best. Yeah. If you even like give yourself space there, you might want to go. So I had people in here trying to help me because I'm like, this has to be right. I have to be able to jump onto this panel and get it. And of course, as it all does, I try to get on and I can't get on. So I'm texting the girl. I'm like, okay, I'm coming. We're working on it. I finally jump in and Todd Pennington says, there she is. Made my whole day. It was like, deep breath. Okay. All right. We're good. And it was really nice. And they were super, super warm and very friendly. And it was so much fun. But I was a nervous wreck. I'm sitting in this panel with, there was five of us and they're all stars. Like, people know who they are. Their followers are like hundreds of thousands of people. And then there's little old me.
And there's me.
But you walked into the room. And then I was trying to not be starstruck too, because if you get starstruck, then you can't communicate and talk. But it worked out well. I was able to offer some good information. And one of the people and I still communicate on a regular basis. So that's kind of fun.
I love that. Well, it's time now for you to give us some good information too, okay? Because most of the people who are following us and are watching this, we're in that mom phase, you know? And if I flip this camera around right now, you'd be like, oh.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? You are pretty good at being non-judgmental.
I do not judge. I have been in your shoes. I know how hard it is to be a working mom. And just to be a mom in general is hard. Yes. Throw in the working piece. Ugh. Yeah. And then to be a single mom. Oh, my goodness. God bless all of those single mamas because they have so much on their plates. So, no, there is no judgment. 0, 0, 0.
And that's what in itself just makes me go, okay.
It's going to be okay. And look, I was overwhelmed at your stage of life. It's hard when you have littles and you're trying to juggle all the things. It is so tough. It is so tough. So kudos to you. I'm an empty nester now. So like when I kick off my shoes in the middle of the living room, I have no one else to blame.
You have nobody else. I'll tell you, just a few weeks ago, my daughter had her first little sleepover. And I spent 2 or 3 days just cleaning the house and stuff. We had the living room decorated. And I closed my bedroom door and my bathroom door because I'm like, I'm just, you know, they're kids. They're not going there. I tell you, the moment she walked in, she goes, let me show you my house. She takes little girl, dodged straight in my room, straight in my bathroom.
And I'm like, she did.
Are you kidding? And I can hear her in the back going, it's okay. That part over there is a little messy. And that part, I was like,
Hey, Megan, pat yourself on the back, baby, because you have a happy child who's proud of her house.
There you go.
It makes you feel better. I didn't make my bed this morning. So guess what? The sky did not fall. I really think part of my organizing has become a mission for people to be like, okay, life is tough and it doesn't have to be perfect.
It doesn't.
I don't file fold my underwear. I'm like, no, this is about function and making the best of what you have in the time that you have to do it. And at your stage of life, if the shoes have to be in a laundry basket at the back door so that, you know, then they have to. I would love to see, it's more important that the kids are communicated with and loved and talked to and interacted with. That is more important than you spending the time file folding the laundry and making their drawers look perfect. It just is. And I'm sure every organizer in the world at this point is going, what is she saying? Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. But look, I just believe that function is more important, especially at the stage of life that you are in right now with busy mom, busy kids.
It's so true. And I mean, now there is a direct link to, like, you know, chaos and your mental health. And so it is important. Can you talk to us a little bit about why that's important to make sure, you know, we don't have to be perfect.
No.
But a system.
Yes, you do need a system. So this is what I love about organizing is if your house is functional and if it's organized, even if that means the laundry basket of shoes at the back door, it doesn't take long to reset your house in the evenings so that the next day you're not starting with already the piles half here and you're just adding to it. And that means teaching your children. See, there's the teacher in me. Your children have to be engaged in this process. They should be picking up the living room spaces and the common areas, and the things need to go back to their room. Yeah. They don't have to be perfect. My kids' drawers were not perfect, but they would try to fold the clothes and they would put the clothes where they belong. And if it wasn't perfect, it was okay because they were giving it their best effort. Like I said, the underwear, get a bin, the socks can go in, the underwear can go in, make your life simple and functional and easy. And stop worrying about all those nitpicky details. For me, to have peace in my home. Okay, so this is what I tell everybody. I'm kind of squirreling here.
Go for it.
I'm the ADD organizer as well. Yeah, I have it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is also why it's functional. So stand in your back door and look around. What is the feeling that you get when you walk into your house? Is it dread? Or is your home your safe place, your happy place, the place that you can recharge and reset for this crazy world that we live in? So for me, that means my counters need to be clear and my everything has a place. So, and it doesn't have to be neat in that place, but it has to have a place. I want my scissors to be in the same place in the drawer so that when I need them, I can go grab them. I need my socks to be in the same place so that when I go to grab a pair of socks, they're in that space and I'm not looking all over for things. We lose a lot of time looking for things. We lose a lot of time looking for our purse, our keys, our phones, our whatever it is to walk out the back door. Maybe it's your laptop. For me, it's a work bag. If we're dropping those things willy-nilly as we walk in our house and they don't have a home, look how much time you're going to waste the next morning doing that. I still get my clothes out the night before.
Same.
Because I like to sleep late. I want to sleep into the very last second I can. I'm not even really sleeping. I like to wake up, watch the news, drink my coffee in bed. Mm-hmm. I say a crescendo. So that means my clothes have to be out. My items that I need to walk out the door with, including my water in my cup, are all in one place. So I am not walking out the door with anything. And my mornings are now automatic. My bin of hair products, it's in a drawer I pull out and the bottles are all in one space. So I can open the drawer. Psh, I know it looks like I didn't do my hair, but whatever.
Beautiful.
So it's about simplicity. If you have counters full of stuff, then you're more likely to keep laying things on the counter. And then you've just lost everything that you have. So you're rebuying, you're wasting time, and now you're wasting money. And I don't think any of us have time and money to waste. This is a busy world we all live in.
It's true. I like the process that you just went through because I know, like, in my bathroom counter, look, my bathroom and my room are the two things that end up getting the least attention because most of the time when I come home, I'm in the kitchen cleaning, then we're cooking, and then we're homeworking, and then we're doing this stuff. And mm-hmm. by the time I get to my room, I'm just like, I crash. Things just get thrown everywhere. It's the way we moms do. Mm-hmm. Everything comes before us, right? But I like how you said that. If there's stuff on your counter, there's just going to be more stuff on your counter, you know?
Here's another thing. Where's the first place you go in your house in the morning? Your bathroom.
Yeah, to the bathroom.
So you're starting your day off in chaos.
Yeah.
You start your day off looking at it, feeling, because it's known clutter causes stress. So you are walking into a stressful environment the minute you wake up.
Yeah.
So it's true. So what can change? Is it that you need to spend 5 minutes cleaning up after you get ready in the mornings? Do you need to spend 5 minutes? Because if everything has a home, it doesn't take more than 5 minutes. And if you're doing it daily.
Yeah.
That daily routine is key to staying functional and not, and maintaining it.
Yeah. Now let's talk about people who have smaller homes. Okay. Because I know my girls share a room, right?
Right.
And then my son, whose room I'm in right now, you know, he has his own little cute chaos in here. But my girls have a lot of stuff. Their room is not big. And I know a lot of people can, you know, attest to this. It's like, I don't want to take their stuff away because everything does not have a home, right? I don't want to take their stuff away. I don't want them to lose. But we don't have the space. You know, sometimes you just don't have the space. What can be done in those situations? Because also, I'm expecting them to clean their room every day. But the truth is, there's not space to, you know, and a lot of it's important things.
So I'm going to say something here that I want you to really, really soak in.
Okay, bring it.
This is not my quote. This is somebody else's quote, and I don't know who it is. So to whoever said this quote, this sunk in with me so much. Your children should not have anything more than they can maintain.
Wow.
Let it soak in. Because when we overwhelm their lives with all the stuff we think they should have, what are we teaching them?
Clutter.
We're teaching them to live in clutter. We're teaching them to live in chaos. They're supposed to have, like, their bedrooms. Yes, you want them to have toys, but we also want them to problem solve. And if we're giving them all these things that if you touch this button, it does this, they're not problem solving anything. They're just being entertained for a few minutes. So there's three things that every child needs.
I'm ready.
Blocks. Any kind of blocks, whether that's wood blocks, Legos, you can have all the blocks, but blocks, books. And I say baby dolls, but what I mean by baby dolls is imaginary playthings, the kitchens, the something that they can pretend to be an adult. That's it. Those are the three toys that they have to create. And let their imaginations go crazy.
Yeah.
You can pull, you know, because they can pull in your pots and pans like we used to do when we were little. Mom's Tupperware. The Tupperware cabinet was where we played. Those are the three things that kids need. Now, I know I will get a lot of arguments from parents about, well, that's not what Susie's got this. And so my child wanted this. Okay. But can they maintain all of those things that you think that they need or they feel like they need? This is why experience gifts to me are so important, because there's, as an adult, if you go back to Christmases, you might remember one or two big exciting presents, but you don't remember every Christmas.
I don't.
But I bet you remember the feeling. I bet you remember the feeling and the emotions of being in that environment Christmas morning. It's the time and the emotions that are more important. So, and you know, that's why I have adult kids, but when they started to be 8 and 10, we started doing little trips, and it might be a trip to a campground or it might be a trip to Disney. It depended on the year and what the budget was. But we even did a staycation one time where I took them around our own Baton Rouge and we did stuff around here. There's so many things to see and do, but my kids now appreciate the time and they look forward to their Christmas gifts. They're not opening anything. Now they're 22 and 24, so it's different. But I don't have presents for them Christmas morning. They get a stocking and we go on a trip.
I love that. I love that.
And they love that. They look forward to that. And they're like, lately we've been renting a lake house on lakes around here and doing like a 3 to 4 day trip. And they're allowed to bring their friends. We bring air mattresses. The friends can sleep on the floor. You know, whatever. My daughter's married now. She brought her husband last year. And, you know, those are the memories that they will carry for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Now ask them, you know, when I pulled the ornaments down, all these ornaments that I've saved for them, the things, you know, I bought an ornament every year for the thing that they were into. My daughter laughed and said, Mom, I'm not putting that on my tree because it'll be all of my ornaments. Like Michael and I want to start our own ornaments and do our own tree. And it was like, Even for me, that didn't even save that much for them. But I was like, and I was like, she goes, well, you can just get rid of those. And I'm like, you are going to take this Twilight ornament and you are going to put it on your tree. She's been lying for a long time to get this. But that goes, it goes back to show you the experiences are much more important, going to be much more important to them and longer term results than the thing. So back to what I was saying, they should only have as much as they can maintain.
I love that. I love that. And I've, as you've been talking, I've been rethinking the things that are in there. And like, it's like you almost kind of set them up for failure a little bit because you're just expecting all, you know, expecting for you to do this and expecting for you to keep this, but really they can't maintain that. And they really can't, you know, keep up with it. It's a setup for failure for them and for us.
But it is, because then you're frustrated that they didn't clean their room and you go in there and you're, it's a point of contention. So yeah. Then you end up with this big negative thing. Now, I'm not saying they should only have three toys. Of course, every child's going to have a little bit more, but those are the three basics that every child needs to create and problem solve.
Yeah, it is.
That's it. That's
so,
it.
So let's talk about, let's say we're going in there with the intent of scaling back, you know? Okay. Talk to me about your method of, you know, bringing order and decluttering and getting to a place of peace where everything has a home.
So we use the chaos method, which is categorizing, helpful or hurtful, action, organizing, simplify. It's five steps and it's in the book if anybody wants to look at it outside of this podcast. But those are the five steps we use in every space we organize. So we'll categorize. So let's talk your children's toys.
Right.
We'll categorize those toys and say, okay, like, maybe they're really into Barbie and that's their thing. So we have 1,000 Barbies and we'll say, okay, so Barbie needs more space, which means name another toy. My kids are 22 and 24. This space, this toy, they don't play with as much. So we need a smaller amount of that toy because you have to organize to fit the space. The stuff has to fit the space. The space can't fit the stuff. So that, And that's the other thing. So I walked into a playroom once and it was just wall to wall toys. There was so much, so much. And I told the mom, sit down on the middle of the room, just sit down on the floor in the middle of the room. So now you're at the child's eye level. And I said, now look around. Do you want to play with any of this? They don't want to play with it because they don't even know where to start because there's a baby in the corner and the stroller's over there, the kitchen's over there. In the midst of all that is all this other mess. So we categorize, we decide what we're going to prioritize, what are they really into? And then the stuff has to fit the space and you downsize. So you ask, what is your goal? Your goal is for the stuff to fit the space. So you designate what the space is going to be. And then you ask, is keeping this helpful or hurtful? The action, keep, toss, donate. Then you organize in bins. At that point.
Yeah.
Now, you see, it's step number four, not number one. You don't buy the bins first because your Barbie bin might be a big bin, like something like this size, whereas another toy is going to need a small bin. So you have to figure out that configuration, but you start with what you're keeping. Then the last step is the S, which is simplify, which is labeling. And labeling is important, especially with kids, because you can't expect them to put the item away where it belongs without the label because they won't know. And all the bins will have all the stuff in them.
Yes.
So labeling is key. Even with 2 to 3 year olds, you can do picture labels.
That's really good.
You can do it. And that's a language thing. So if you do the picture label with the word underneath, that's reading. They're making that connection. So yeah, kindergarten teacher, here we go. I'm like, you know, that's important.
Bring it back.
Yeah. Look, everything was labeled in our house. I had bed, trash can, closet.
To be clear.
A rich reading environment.
Right. So explain to us a little bit about helpful, hurtful. What exactly does that mean? What do you mean by that?
So you have a goal
Mm-hmm.
And you decide, is this helpful or hurtful to my goal? Let's say Aunt Betty's vase sits in the top of the closet that she gave you when she died. You hate the vase. You don't like the vase. You've never liked the vase, but you love Aunt Betty and you feel like you need to keep the vase. Is that vase helpful or hurtful to you having a home for everything and a space for everything and a house filled with the things that you need or love?
That's really good.
Need or love? You have to ask. So with children, especially, and I love that we're talking about this right now because we're about to go into toys on Instagram. So I've been thinking and rethinking about my kindergarten days and my children's days. Stuffed animals. Let's talk about stuffed animals. Everybody has too many stuffed animals, right?
Far too many.
Far too many. Like they're taking up the entire room. So laundry basket. Get a laundry basket and say, okay, children, we have one laundry basket. The stuffed animals have to fit in this space. So you have to think, is this helpful or hurtful for me to keep this? Like which one takes priority? Helpful or hurtful just helps you prioritize which thing is more important.
Yeah. I like
that. And so I used it with my kids growing up. They would fight with each other because they're 2 years apart. And I would say, well, you know, was that comment helpful or hurtful?
Oh, that's good. It goes beyond organizing. Yeah.
And you make them think about, and really you can use that in all of your life. If you're dieting and you go to Chick-fil-A and you say you're ready to order the fries, is that helpful or hurtful?
It's hurtful. Let's just get started.
You've got to focus on your goal. And I hate using diet as a example, but it's anything. If you're cleaning out your closet and you know you've got too many shoes and you've got a space for 40 and you have 45, which one's helpful or hurtful? It helps you. It just helps you prioritize.
It does. It does. Because I can say, if I'm thinking about my closet, a lot of the things in my closet are there because they hold memories and they hold emotional value, not necessarily because I actually wear them, you know, or I actually use them.
Yeah. If you still have your engagement party dress and you've been married 29 years like I have, why?
Well, what if your daughter might want to wear that? I'm just saying, I still have like my prom dresses and I still have stuff from high school.
Actually, I'm laughing, Megan. My prom dress went in my costumes. I have a trunk in my attic full of costumes. And that was in there. And my daughter did wear that in sixth grade. she wore it. We zipped her up in it and she was drama queen.
I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, there's a chance that they might want it.
I shouldn't encourage you. But yeah, some of those things, but they ended up in my costume. They're not in my closet taking up space. They ended up in the attic. Yeah. And even my wedding dress ended up in the attic. And I didn't care. They're not wearing our things, not for special. They might wear them to dress up and have fun in and play in. And I still have my wedding dress for my grandchildren to play in. And if they destroy it, I don't care because they're going to want their own thing. This is what me as a mom of young adults is really, really learning is that all these things that we think, oh, we're going to pass this on to them.
Yeah.
Those are our memories in those things. Your memories are in your engagement dress. Not your daughter's.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care. And she's going to want her own so she can create her own memories.
Yeah, of course.
So yes, make a little handkerchief square out of your dress and tack it to her wedding dress. But it's your memory, not hers.
It is. I'm going to need you on FaceTime.
I love it.
I'm going to go in there and just... It is a lot of it is, it is my memories. And I guess it is a lot of moms. We want to share things with our children. We want to share things maybe with our grandkids. We hold, but I do like the fact that if there are some sentimental things, we can't just put them up in the attic. We can store them. They don't have to take space.
Yes. Yes.
Right now.
You just have to be really, really mindful about what is important. Is it more important for her to see that engagement dress and that you're hanging on to that memory? Or is it more important for her to see, you know what? You know what's important? you're important. You spending time with you is important. If I've got a closet full of memories and it's taking up my closet space, is that helpful or hurtful?
It's absolutely hurtful.
Yeah.
Just like the fries at Chick-fil-A.
I'm eating the fries. I got a vaccination yesterday and I texted my children. I said, just letting y'all know I got a shot and now I'm headed to go get a milkshake. That's what I always did with them. But it was really funny. They all knew exactly what I was talking about. I'm like, it just makes your arm feel better.
I mean, it does. And you deserve it and you've earned it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of things you've earned, a major kudos you've earned for this book. Yay for you.
Oh, the book is beautiful. I'm so, so proud of it. It turned out so pretty. And it's a 8x8 coffee table book. The pages are just quality. The pictures are beautiful. Angela Hoppe did an amazing job with the pictures. And Lisa and I had the best time writing it. We had so much fun. We would write, we'd set a timer and we'd each take, like we had our outline and we'd each take a piece of the outline and we would write and the timer would go off and we'd swap our writing and then we'd edit each other's stuff. So it was such a fun process. And we had no idea what we were doing. We just knew we wanted a quality book that was easy to read, which it is. Like you can sit and like go, look, it's 3 pages is a chapter. I mean, and part of that's pictures. And it's just really fun. And the cool thing is in each space, we have the categories, the typical categories listed. So if you needed some prompting of, well, I don't even know what categories I would have in the butler's pantry or in the outdoor kitchen, it's like we give you the prompts of what it would be. And what really makes it unique and fun is that we talk about the Southern things that we have. We talk about tailgating. We talk about the hunting closet. We talk about the butler's pantry, which not everybody has. You know, so we have some really unique spaces in the book. But the most fun part of this book is that it goes season by season.
Yeah.
And so we start it. Lisa and I both say that fall is kind of the new year, right? Because school starting, hunting season starting, football starting, all those things are starting. So it's kind of like you feel like it's a new year. So by doing it season by season, we have you organizing the spaces that you're currently using. So like we have Mardi Gras in winter because that's when Mardi Gras happens. So when you get there, and yes, Mardi Gras is in the book because you have Mardi Gras gowns, you have Mardi Gras beads, you have all the things for Mardi Gras that you need, the ladders, the signs, whatever it is. But we do it season by season. The funny part is you get to summer and we say gone fishing. It's too hot to organize in the summer in the South.
It's too hot.
Nobody wants to do anything but have a little fun. So we did our book from fall, winter, spring, and then your house is done. Your spaces are done.
Yeah. And summer, you just get to sit back and enjoy.
That's right. We debated the go fishing or the beach. We were trying to decide which one, but we thought go fishing was kind of fun.
I like that a lot. So I want you to share something with everyone that you shared with me a long time ago, and I really, really loved it. We were having this conversation about your kids' things that they bring home from school, their papers, their, you know, all the stuff, because I've got a stack this high, and I know they're not going to care about that. So I've been trying to, like, get rid of things a little bit at a time. I even got, like, a little frame on my wall now, like, you know, they can put all their cute things. But you told me about a bucket that you can organize. Like, give us the breakdown of that.
The memory bucket. So I had a file. And so every school year I would make a file and let's say kindergarten and second grade. So I'd have a little file in where I did my mail and everything else. And that file had, so I would put things in that file. At the end of the year, because that's where you want to find everything. Like your class lists are in there, their photos that are in there, their school photos, their anything, the papers that you think you want to keep and my rule for keeping is if it had their writing on it or their handprint on it, I kept it.
Oh, that's good. That's a good break.
So, and I'm not talking about spelling words writing. I'm talking about like when they start to journal in first grade and write the few little sentences, or maybe their first handwriting of their name in kindergarten. But, you know, That's the kind of stuff. I'm not talking about spelling list, but a sample of their writing, their photo, and anything with their handprint, footprint, or something like that that was unique. And those are the things I saved. So at the end of the year, I would go through and I would throw away the class list. I would throw away the stuff you didn't need, the field trip permission slips, whatever it is. So much of that is online now that it's really eliminated a lot of paper. But then that file got put in the memory box and it was done.
That's good.
So each year, so each child had their own memory box, and the files would, every year you would add to the files, and then by 12th grade, you're done. They do not care about their 4.0 in first grade spelling. It was really interesting to see the things that they cared about. It was very interesting to me.
Yeah. I feel like you do with the Christmas ornaments. I'm convinced that when my kids get older, they're going to be like, we don't want none of this stuff, Mom. And my heart's just going to go.
It does. It kind of crushes. It feels a little personal. But I'll tell you what ornaments they do love. We do a travel tree. Mm-hmm. Now, I bought them ornaments every year. Like Reed has the football player, like the Drew Brees football player from Hallmark or whatever. They had those ornaments, and we did two trees every year. So those ornaments went on one tree, and then the second tree was all of our trips. We would do a travel ornament.
I love that.
We didn't buy t-shirts. We didn't buy tchotchkes that sat around or snow globes or anything like that. We did ornaments. So my kids actually really enjoyed decorating the tree because they could talk about the trips, and it was fun memories for them, the trips that they went on. So there was a thing. And so that is the ornaments that they cared about more than anything, and not the stuff that they were into every year. But the stuff that they were into every year was fun for me to look at. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, the Hello Kitty clock. Do you remember that? I mean, do you remember being into Hello Kitty?
And, yes. Yes.
And Riley was like, yeah, I mean, the clock, it was fun. It's like, you don't understand. You're crushing me. But it's still that way. And even when you downsize, when we downsize seniors in their 80s or 90s, and I'm getting a taste of this because I downsized my mom and my daughter got married. So I'm giving stuff to her. The memories, stuff that was important to my mom, like, oh my gosh, that was your great grandparents and blah, blah, blah. And those are her memories. So that thing is important to her, but it's not as important to me. Yeah. And if I'm going to put it up in a closet in a box and forget about it, then why am I keeping it? What's the point of that?
It's true.
And I'm going to have a lot of people fuss at me for that. They really are. People really, really struggle with, well, that's just rude. Well, no, what's rude is that you're keeping it in a box and in a closet. You don't care about it. Just because you get rid of an item doesn't mean you're getting rid of the person.
Or that you don't care. Yeah.
Or that you don't care. It's just that's not a thing. It's just a thing that you care about. But you can still love the person. Yeah. And for my downsizing clients, a lot of times those things trigger memories and they're afraid to lose the memory. And so what I will do is we'll create some people use their phones. Sometimes I'm sending pictures to Walgreens and printing and making a little book, but we'll take pictures of those things so that they still have the thing and can pull up the memory, instead of keeping the things.
Yeah.
It's really hard for downsizing people to let go of those things because they're so afraid that the memories are going to go too.
Yeah. And I think it also speaks so much more to a deeper issue of just like letting go of things that aren't serving us anymore, you know?
Absolutely.
It's hard sometimes to just admit this isn't serving me. Maybe at one point it did, but maybe now it's not necessarily what I need, you know? And again, that goes back to helpful or hurtful.
Or hurtful.
Is this helping me or is this hurting me? Like the fries. Right. What are we going to do? Make a decision.
Is this based on a feeling and a memory, or is this based on a need and a love?
Yeah.
And that, that really makes a huge difference, because if you're basing keeping things on memories, then you're not letting go of anything. And then are you really enjoying your house? Is it a place that you're burying yourself in? Or is it a place that you're going to go to find energy and respite? You know, we, as a working mom, I needed to be able to recharge in my house. Life is busy. Life is just busy. And I needed to have some space to breathe and be like, okay. And I'm not, you know, it's not always neat. My house was not always neat. At one point, I had a tent, like one of those pup tents that holds two people. I had that in the middle of my dining room, because we didn't have dining room furniture yet. My kids were little. I had that in the middle of my dining room with toys in it, because that's the stage we were in. I think that they were like 1 and 3. And so they didn't have a lot of toys, but they loved that stupid tent. And when the tent was done, the tent went away. And so it just, you know, your kids are going to go through stages, and you have to be able to relinquish. I call it blessing others. That's good. There's a lot of people who can't afford to buy new toys. Mm-hmm. And be careful when you donate. So if you donate toys, there's only certain places that keep them, and make sure that they're not broken, and make sure that they have all the pieces and parts. And if they don't, just toss it.
Yeah.
Because some volunteers having to waste their time trying to piece that thing together.
Yeah.
So many of our things that we're reluctant to get rid of are just because of memories. So
that's a good 80% of my closet. But that's okay. Cause I'm going to do this. It's not helpful. We're going to let it go. Okay. Something that could be helpful to a lot of people who are watching this. We have a lot of people who would like to start a business and don't really know where to start. So I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody on here, cause I love the different answers. Okay. Let's pretend that tomorrow you woke up in an alternate world where only you knew you, right? You don't have your business. You know what you had and you know of your business, but no one else knows you as Martha Carol Stewart. No one else knows you as Chaos Organizing. You have to start from the ground up to start your business again. What are the first three things you're doing?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So if I know no one and I'm starting my business, first of all, I'm researching what I need to make my business legal and certified, and all the, you know, what do you need to start your business certification wise, registration wise? What are those types of things? Then I'm finding out finances. What do I financially need? Social media is free unless you're doing ads. And if you don't know anybody, you probably need to do a few ads. So what kind of things do you need to invest in to make it successful? And it's a lot of research. And then three is you go out there and you put yourself out there and you say, hey, I'm selling snack bags. Here we are with my snack bag. And just show people and talk to them about it. People are interested in people. They just are.
They are.
And so if you strike up friendly conversations with people, get to know people, and then I don't want to say sell them what you're selling, but if you get to know people and they get to know you, it doesn't matter what you're doing. They're going to be interested in what you're doing. And then at that point, you're talking about what you're doing. You're not selling your product, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that somebody asked me, like, what my dream retirement would look like. And I said, for me, I would love to move to different places, like for 3 weeks to a month, and just get to know the people in that area, in that town.
Yeah.
And how would you do that? Well, shopping, for grocery shopping, or exercise, walking, and just meeting people. And that's how you get to know people. And then people will become curious about you, and you don't have to sell your thing. They just get to know you, and you're just part of that thing that you do. That's how it happens.
I would do that in Sweden. I'd probably go up there and just start meeting people.
I was thinking Sweden, Italy.
Just some random place in a little town.
I find people fascinating, and I think that you can learn something from everyone, yes, every single person. And so for me, I go out with that curiosity of I'm interested in you, and I want to learn more about you, and what do you do, and do you have children, and tell me about your family, and did you grow up here? And I ask a million questions. I probably drive people crazy because I ask a million questions, but I find people's lives fascinating. And I just truly go into every conversation with, there's always a nugget in there that you can learn from. And if you have that fascination with people and that curiosity, then you're going to do just fine. Don't sit behind a screen.
Get out and know people.
You got to get out. You got to get out and meet people and interact with people and be a little bit of a joiner in some things and learn that way. So those are the three things. Research, 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 because you need to know legally what you need to do. You need to know financially what commitments you need to make. Are there any, you know, even, you know, professional fees? Do you need an accountant? Like, what are those fees that you need to have? One of my favorite books to read is The E-Myth Revisited. It's a great business book that I learned, that one in Traction. I got a lot of information out of those two books. And I soaked it all in because I knew nothing about business. I was a kindergarten teacher.
Same.
And I had to learn and I'm still learning. 11 years later, I am still learning. And it's so important. And if there's business groups that you can join, it's important for you to join those so that you, because again, they're going to have a wealth of information too.
Ask the question. People are so willing to help. I love it.
I love this town is amazing when it comes to other entrepreneurs and other businesses. Everybody wants to lift everybody up. I've rarely run into a negative situation when putting myself out there. So. Yeah.
I agree.
It's a rare thing, and it's well worth, if you're new to business, it's well worth doing that.
I couldn't possibly agree more. Tell us where we can find your book.
You can find my book at organizingsouthernchaos.com. Here in Baton Rouge, it's at a few different stores. I think we list the stores on our website. I'm not positive about that. But if you can email me at mc@chaosorganizing.com, and I'll tell you where to find it. We are in Nashville and Pas Christian. We are in Natchez, Mississippi, and St. Francisville. I mean, we are Lafayette. We are all over. We are even in Houston. So you can find our book in different stores. We are not on Amazon because we decided to really promote our book locally. We shop small. You know, I'm a small business. We really wanted to focus on small business and giving them something unique to have. We are the only organizing book for Southern homes. So that's kind of fun. We're the only ones written for that. And which is really exciting and fun for us because we kind of have a neat little unique view of the world. Because, you know, Southerners, we don't get rid of everything. We don't. We do keep, you know, Mama's China is important to us.
It's when
you're talking about helpful and hurtful, Mama's China is coming. So sorry, honey, you don't get a closet because I gotta put Mama's China in there.
Yeah. I've got my grandparents' china and my husband's grandparents' china, and we keep it in there. I mean, it's sentimental, and it, you know.
It's sentimental. But I'll tell you this. I use my crystal. I use for my wine glasses when I drink wine daily. My glass of wine in the evening is in my crystal. So I use my china and crystal, and I always say, no, your kids are young. I started this after my kids were older and could respect my dishes. But, I mean, you know, use the silver, use the crystal, use the china. Don't just keep it in a closet. Actually use it and teach your children the history of it and why it's important so that when they're older, they might want it if they understand that history behind it. If they've never used it, they're not going to want it.
That's very, very true.
If they don't, you know, if it's important to you and you're getting out the china and crystal monthly, let's just say, like your girls. Can you imagine how cute it would be to have a little tea party with grandma's china? I mean, how fun would that be? And we did that with my daughter. And so her fifth birthday, we did a tea party and we pulled out the demi-tasse teacups. Cause I'm like, if they break, they break. I'm not using them all the time. So if they break, they break. And she'll always remember that. That was a big deal. And so use the crystal. Let them see you enjoying those things. They don't need to be stored in a closet. If you love it enough to have it in your home, use it.
I love it. And I love everything that you have said. You have given us so much inspiration and just knowledge. This has definitely been helpful and not hurtful. And
11 years. I have a lot to say, don't I?
You do. And that's just a very small portion, which is why everyone needs to go and buy your book.
Book. Yes. If you are a do-it-yourselfer and you want to organize yourself, the book is the way to go because it's got all the steps in there, the categories you need, and you can follow it month by month or season by season, and your house will be done by the end of it.
I love it. And we will put all that information on how you can get that book. Martha, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time and all of your wisdom and your knowledge. It is very helpful and we appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Megan. I loved catching up. It was really great to see you. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Bye. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.